Lil, put aside the ego and embrace the moment.
It's time for another midweek drive transcontinental adventure.
Hey, Lil, take my hand. Wanna dance on the summer sun. Hey, Lil, feel my beating heart. When the rhythm of the music starts. Feeling so close tonight. Watching your body move all night. This time the scene's so right. Wanting, won't wait alone tonight. Sueño prohibido, sueño perdido. Quiero estar contigo. Necesito el mar, necesito el sol. Dame tu corazón. Sueño perdido, sueño prohibido. Muéstrame el camino. Quiero danzar, quiero bailar. Dame más calor.
Pretty awesome number, I'm sure you'd agree. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Yes, by the tremendously talented Ginny V, who's got another single out, which we're going to hear and talk about as the program proceeds. And we're welcome, delighted to actually welcome now. We are welcome indeed to actually welcome to the program the fabulous Ginny V. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm great. Thank you so much. How are you?
Well, delighted to connect with your good self. And of course, you're currently based in Rome, I believe.
Yes, I'm in Rome. It's a lovely place to be, especially at the time of the year. Very nice.
Absolutely. And of course, we're recording this actually on the day of Eurovision. And is that something which you're excited by, or is it a case of, no, please do not associate me with Eurovision. I'm far better, which of course you are.
I love Eurovision, actually. I actually would love to participate for my country, but we have a weird regulation about that. You actually have to win a national contest first to be allowed to participate, not like other countries where the competition is open for everybody. So I don't think it's going to happen for me.
Oh, Ginny, come on now. I mean, listen, you've got to be Italy's number one. We know this. It's inevitably going to take place. So yeah, we start the campaign now for Ginny V to be the Italian winning entry to Eurovision for 2023. So there we are. Ginny V in 23. See what we're doing there. You know, it's already fitting into place.
Wow, that's fantastic. I hope it goes well.
Well, we'll progress that. Now, just talk us through what we were just listening to, which is We Don't Know Yet, because I must admit, I was unaware of the quality and the range of stuff you actually put together. That's, of course, from your relatively recent album, but tell us about what the program, what the song was, and what inspired you, and so on.
So, We Don't Know Yet, we're talking about my album, right? So, yeah, that was a piece of work. I worked on it for 1 year. And the entire album was a representation of my love for music and my taste and flavor for all gender. And through the years and my experience during my tours all over the world. So I wanted to put together my experience in music and what I like about music. So I was very personal. Every song tells a story or a particular moment of my life. And I wanted to really put myself there for the audience. So this time I wanted to write every single song, all the lyrics and part of the music have been written by myself with a great team behind me, and to have the opportunity to work with great engineers and mastering and labels that supported me, and I had a great team, so very proud of that work. And it took me, I said, more than a year actually, and the result is really something that represents me, and I'm very proud of having it out there for the people to listen to.
And it's a terrific album, and we're going to return to it obviously as we proceed, because this is officially the Ginny V Day. That's the important thing. Again, another line: VE Day, Victory in Europe. There's so many sort of things we can actually work on this. You were born in Tuscany, of course, and you moved obviously from being a trained operatic singer to contemporary pop and various other aspects. Was that something which you'd always had in mind, or was it something a case of, look, I've done La Traviata, I've done Aida, I can only do so much of this before you just say, look, enough already, I want some fun?
It's actually interesting the way you said that, because this is what I grew up with. So my grandmother was a piano and opera teacher, so I grew up learning about that as first, and I just realized during the process of learning music that there was something more that I want to try. I want to see if I can grow more into that different styles and things. So I actually try every style possible. I try country, I try R&B, pop, hip hop, blues, jazz. So in fact, some of my summer tours are in fact the adaptation of my songs into more blues style. I do different variation of my music and my songs adaptation during my lives, because that's what I love to do live. So when I'm live, I experiment a bit, but also based on the audience. When the audience requires something more in a blues way, I like to experiment that way. So there, yeah, I started with a more operatic, and it's in me, it's still in me. So when you listen to my music, the way I sing, a little bit of the approach from a stylistic point of view, it resonates in what I do. That's why sometimes people say, you sound a little bit like Celine Dion, just because she has that a little bit as well. You know, you keep melodies.
Celine Dion sounds like you. Let's get it right here. Let's get the priorities.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is important. Here, so. We can go with that. Just as indeed another operatically trained individual from Miami, Florida, although she's not in Miami, Florida at present, she's actually in Lincoln, England, joins us, Kathy Mansour. Welcome to what I'm officially designating as the Ginny V Hour. So it's very important, you know, so we're working on that. How are you, Kathy?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
We've just been listening to one of Ginny's particular classic numbers, as they one from the album. We haven't as yet actually opened up the single. We're saving that, obviously, but that was We Don't Know Yet. And the thing I thought about We Don't Know Yet, Ginny, was it's a very bouncy, poppy number. I mean, it's the kind of number which almost a day like today, whether you're in Rome, whether you're in Lincoln, wherever you happen to be, whether you're in Miami, Florida, or indeed Los Angeles, you could really sort of see people hopping and skipping along to in a music video.
Yeah, that's actually one of the purpose, you know, having everywhere you are in the world, you can actually fit in into the song, into the rhythm, and you can find yourself, your story, your emotions on the song. That's one of my purpose. That's why I do this as a job. So I always try to create a song that a person can associate to a memory or part of your life, so it stays with you. Mm.
Which is, of course, the essence of music in so many ways. And as we've already said, Italy is the home of opera. It's the home of great composers, Verdi, Puccini, a whole range of sort of aspects within that. Kathy, let's turn to your good self. Any questions you want to put to Ginny at the moment?
Oh, man. I mean, I've been listening to your music for like the last hour, just getting excited to meet you. So it's very exciting. But I guess what I wanted to ask is, who are your inspirations when it comes to creating music? Because not only do you create, you also write your own music.
Yeah, that's true. I write my own music. I have many inspirations, beginning from actually my own family. As I said, my grandmother was a great inspiration also, and both of my grandmothers, I have to say. And but from a music point of view, I get inspiration from the great, great Celine Dion, as we were talking before. Michael Jackson is one of my influences as well, I have to confess. I grew up with, this was actually one of the first songs that I ever sang, was Bad by Michael Jackson. So, and I'm classically trained, so therefore I use a lot of classic music. Nabucco is one of my favorite. And when I love Disney's, and I get inspiration also from Disney movies. So a more modern artist that I actually get inspiration from, I have to say, is Ed Sheeran and Sia.
Wow. No, that's a great span. So you're similar to me where you listen to everything, it sounds like.
I do. I believe that music is a great language, and no matter what type of music you do, what style you're doing, so I love listening to everything.
Oh, man. And because you brought up your grandmother's already, your nonnas, if because I have a nonna, is I wanted to know what's, if you don't mind sharing, what's a memory that you have with your nonna that you would like to share that's kind of helped inspire your music? I'm sure everything, but if there's...
So I have two grandmothers, both of them, from my dad and from my mom's side, they inspired me a lot. One from an emotion and writing point of view, one from... proper the music and the building process point of view. So my grandmother from my dad's side is the one that taught me music, a piano and opera. And from her, I got the strength, her story during the World War. It was amazing. I mean, she was an amazing woman, very strong. She taught me how to believe in myself, in my dreams, and use the music as a way to express myself as much as possible when I'm not capable of doing that with words. And she taught me how to sing, how to play piano, how to embrace music as a part of myself. So from her, I have that memory, and it stays with me and it sticks with me and will always be with me. And my grandmother from my mom's side is the one that actually grew me the most. So she was with me all the way. My parents were working, I had working parents. So she was there with me all the way. And that's why emotionally I was very attached to her. When she passed away 2 years ago, I lost a piece of my heart. And she's the one that helped me with most of the lyrics, writing some of my songs. And she's definitely the one that inspired my latest single, Tears in the Rain.
See their lips move, but the words I can't hear. Something in their eyes is telling me you're gone. I don't realize what's going on. Washed away, face to gray. Now you're missing from my life. Every day, what we had now is gone. Lost in time, like tears in the rain. I can't let you go, need you by my side. Crushed by the pain, all the tears I cried. When I close my eyes, I still see your face. I'm trying to be strong, now my world's an empty place. just gonna hold to every single moment like it's the very last one of your life. Washed away, face to gray. Now you're missing from my life. Every day, what we had now is gone. Everything we shared, moments lost in time, like tears in the rain. Washed away, face to gray. Now you're missing from my life. Every day, what we had now is gone. Everything we shared, moments lost in time, like tears in the rain.
I'm also intrigued in terms of some of the material that you've produced, Ginny, tends to echo somebody who you may be too young to remember, Miami Sound Machine and Gloria Estefan. But there's elements within Gloria Estefan that I think certainly the phrasing is there. Maybe it's a kind of Latin aspect of that. Of course, you went over to Los Angeles simply to master your English. And I have to say, huge success, because my Italian is virtually non-existent. You know, poco, poco.
Poco, poco is more than enough. But if you know a little bit of Spanish, we understand each other anyway.
Well, it's the language of gesture and so on. So that's always good.
Yes.
Which is very helpful for you at Zoom as well. Now, clearly, in terms of that, what was the Los Angeles experience like? Because Kathy also had a Los Angeles experience. We have lots of Los Angeles contacts and lots of regular contributors. Was it a case of, well, thank goodness that's over? Or is it a case of, actually, no, it wasn't too bad. And after all, we Italians have to go over to America to civilize them.
Well, yeah, I have to say, so because I grew up in Tuscany near Camp Derby, American base, so I was already, I knew what I was expecting a bit. So when I arrived to Los Angeles, I found myself at home because I was a little bit used to that, and it was needed. I'm very happy I had experience. I've been there, I studied, I trained, I breathed different air, different country, different culture, and it was really important from a music point of view. I did a lot of acting as well when I was there, and I can say that that really completed me as an artist and opened my mind to how much talent there is abroad. And especially in America, I was blown away by the talent there. And I was so lucky to collaborate with some artists, local artists, and know so much great people. So I came back because I had a great opportunity in Europe to come back and to join a group and start my music career properly. But definitely was a great experience that I would do again if I had to.
I'm going to ask you a little bit of a tough question now. From the album, of course, We Don't Know Yet. We've already heard the title track. But for the next little Ginny B number, would you like us to go for Unwritten Words or Come Closer?
Ooh, I would say Unwritten Words.
I remember when I tried to kiss you and you rejected me. You left a scar inside. I thought I'd never get close to you. So we lived the lies, we forgot the cry, pretending we're just friends, just a lie. We ignored each other, looking at the eyes. All we had is this song. Your mind trying to kiss me. I found myself too close. I wasn't ready, ran away. So we leave alone. what a lie. We ignore each other, looking at the others. All we have is this song.
Talking to awesome Italian songstress and Rome-based Ginny V on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and Southside Broadcast. We have Kathy Manso as well with us. And we've already talked loosely about Eurovision. So basically, Kathy, we're starting a campaign, Ginny V in 23. Okay, so I think that's important to actually sort of move there. Listen, if you can't get into the Italian side of things, come and join us and represent the UK, because Lord knows we need every sort of top sort of person going for that point of view. So I think that could work. I mean, after all, Celine Dion, she was Canadian. She sort of represented France, I believe. So, you know, it's easily done.
I would love to.
Let's talk about La Belle Mabel, the girl group, of course, that you took part of in Italy. Gotta say, I must admit, this one probably, maybe because we were too insular in Britain or we were too sort of linked up with Girls Aloud, the Saturdays and other sort of bits and pieces, didn't quite get on our radar. So share with us, why should we go back into the archives and dig out some more tracks from La Belle Mabel?
Well, actually, that was the reason why I came back from America, that I was said before. I had an opportunity to join this great group. We were four girls, singers and dancers, and we toured all over Europe. The offer was to be part of this great group. We were firstly put on television show. We were there every week. And then after being on television for so long, for almost a year, we started touring all over Europe, and we were performing famous covers from Italian classics from the 60s, 70s and 80s, and then some of our songs as well. Unfortunately, in 2010, we split up. But not because we really want to split up. I mean, some of us were getting older and they wanted family and everything. So we decided to go in different streets. But they actually have to thank that experience. It was almost 10 years of great experience, and what does it mean to do really the live shows and be in front of the people. That was a great school for me. I would do all over again. And at the moment, I decided that I was ready to start my solo career. And in 2011, I published my first EP, and I created from scratch. I found a great team to work first in Italy and then to UK. I've been recording lots of songs in UK as well, to Bristol, and then everything began from there. I mean, when I said, okay, I don't want to give up music, this is my life, and I want to keep going, and I found my way as a solo singer.
You mentioned Tears in the Rain, obviously having a connection with your grandmother. I think it also, just because of the topic and the words, etc., probably ties very much in terms of the tragedy, and I emphasise tragedy, that's going on in the Ukraine. Because, of course, you do have a personal connection with Ukraine, given that you were taking part in their version of X Factor, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. So I went to the semi-final at the X Factor. It was a great experience. I love Ukraine, and it's breaking my heart what's happening there. I spent a year in Kiev, and seeing what happened to the city devastated me, because I was on those streets. I was there. I've seen it now, and it just, wow, I can't believe what's happening. So when I wrote this song, when it was almost finalized, and I couldn't imagine what some of my friends are experiencing right now, and they could definitely relate to these words, because some of my friends actually lost members of their families. So that's why I also wanted to kind of dedicate it to them as well. And I gave it to them before everybody else, to the country of the Ukraine, before everybody else, before the release, because I felt really close to them.
Kathy, back to yourself. And would you like to share, before we actually play for the first time, the awesome number Tears in the Rain, your thoughts on the track and more?
Oh, man. I mean, that's why I asked you. That's why I jumped into the question about asking about your grandmother, because, I mean, you nailed it, like you said at the beginning. You wanted to connect with something that people can connect with. And that's absolutely what this song brings. And I love how it slowly builds. Like, you beautifully were able to orchestrate how it can build into such a great moment, even though it's like, it's melancholic, you know, it's something that's, it's a little sad, but it's something that needs to be cherished. And I guess what do you want people to take away from this track?
You just said it. You said it perfectly with your words, actually. You felt it, you heard it, and you experienced it. That's what I would love people to experience with your song. I would love them to connect with it and feel the emotion building, you know. That's what actually happened when you lose a person, a member of your family, a friend. It doesn't have to be something specific, but anybody can relate to it. And what happens, you start from a point of not understanding what's actually going on around you at that moment, with the emotions, with the situation around you. And then you suddenly start to realize what's happening. So this song is emotionally, with the words, describing what actually happens when somebody starts to realize what's happening in his own life. So it just, my hope is that listening to it, it'll help you, if you are in the moment, to get better, to pass the moment, but to keep the good about the experience, to remember the good and slowly read off the pain, and just keep the good memory and keep the memory with you.
I remember when I first saw the title, I was reminded of the Ridley Scott movie Blade Runner and the demise of Rutger Hauer's Roy Batty character, in which he says, "All these moments will pass like tears in the rain." Was that anywhere in the mix of an influence? Or
absolutely, yes. Because when my husband, Steve, wrote the music, when I started mumbling the melody and creating the lyrics on it, and I thought it was very cinematic, and he thought that as well. So in addition to it, when he helped me putting the words down properly for the song, we thought about that. We thought about Roy, the last monologue, and how this moment fades, like, you know, they're washed away. Like tears in the rain. So we wanted to use those words, actually, from the movie. We wanted to quote it because it was perfectly representing what's happening, you know, in this moment. So we thought it was really appropriate.
Were you tempted to have a video with a dove being released into the sky at the end? Just a sort of a cinematic moment.
That would be great.
it's a thought. We always do a revamping on that. Ginny, do you actually still enjoy opera? Is it something that you would ever imagine going back to? Are there any moments in terms of, you know, to unwind, to relax? Do you actually take an operatic line? Because, I mean, again, we've already established that, like Kathy, you have a broad range of musical appreciation. Are there moments where you think, actually, I quite fancy a bit of Vivaldi today?
Well, I have to say, sometimes when I'm on my own rehearsing at home, warming up, I go back to it a little bit because I enjoy it. And yeah, I mean, you never know where the future brings you to. You know, I mean, I might join a theater, you know, a group, and I might go for a little play or something like that that involves operatic singing, because it's still in me. I love it. I didn't forget how to do it. I just sometimes try to remember it, you know, because you have to work it. It's something that you have to train, or you lose a bit the way you sing in an operatic way. It's a very difficult approach of singing. So it's something that you have to keep trained doing it. But maybe in the future, who knows? It's something that I don't want to say no. It's there. It stayed there.
And of course, you have the training that's actually excellent, because an awful lot of professional singing coaches are often concerned about, shall we say, the popular music element, because they don't realise that the voice and the instrument of the voice has to be trained. Otherwise, you can do irreparable damage just by actually not breathing correctly. So again, fairly critical in terms of the line, which presumably you're quite happy to do your breathing exercises before the actual performance, which is excellent.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Breathing is everything.
Yeah, I know. I mean, looking at some of the figures that we've actually got here, I mean, over 30 million streams that you actually got from that point of view. I mean, clearly, you are a huge success from that point of view. So what is the future over the next couple of years, apart from obviously winning Eurovision when you represent the Great Britain next year, which, you know, we're putting into the cosmos already from that point of view. What kind of things are you looking for? Is it more touring now we've kind of moved away from the pandemic? Will you be coming to Britain, for instance? Will you be heading to Lincoln, England, for instance?
I would love to. So actually, my plans, there's definitely a start of my tour again, because the tour that I was starting for my album We Don't Know Yet got completely blocked because of the pandemic. The album came out and 2 months later, everything was closed out. So since then, I didn't really travel a lot for work. I did a lot of live streaming concerts, but not much face-to-face, which I'm starting again at the end of the month. Actually, I'm opening a concert at the Olympic Stadium in Rome, which is amazing. I can't wait to do that. And I'm singing my new song at that, especially. So I'm very excited about that, how to restart. So my goal is to definitely start traveling again and start my tour again. I have a lot of new countries that I want to visit and that I approach. I have a great fan base now in Nigeria as well. In the past, I've been to India, to a lot of the Asia and the Latin America, but now the market of the Nigerian is opening and I love it, because in the past I did some collaborations there and then in Canada. So I'm definitely looking forward to do my tour properly this time. Hopefully nothing else will happen in the world, so we'll be back to normal life.
Having said that, as I said, the technological bonus of COVID has enabled us, rather than just doing this over a telephone, to actually visually connect with each other via Zoom. So it's radio with pictures. So I think that's a positive line. It's all good.
Oh yeah.
Ginny, in terms of our other interests, I mean, I'm conscious of the fact that obviously Italy went from the highs of beating England in the European Championships to now failing to qualify for the World Cup again. Also, another programme that we actually put together, Book of the Month, we talk about sport, we talk about something I wasn't aware of, that actually there's a growing interest in American football in Italy, and indeed several NFL players come over to Italy to perform in American football. You mentioned obviously growing up by an American Air Force base in Italy. Maybe you're familiar with the old touchdown hut and all the other strange things that come out of that basis.
I actually am.
So do you have any sort of particular sports or things that you like to unwind or like to watch? Or is it a case of, no, I focus completely on the sport of opera?
I like sport. I like watch football and soccer. And there are many sports I actually enjoy, and like tennis. My oldest sport that it was skating, professional skating. I've been a skater for many years, not on the ice, the one that with two wheels in the front and two wheels in the back, the one that doesn't go to the Olympics, the hardest one. So I did that for 15 years. So that, for me, sport is very important. I think it's something that trains you as a person and it gives you strength. So it's something that I want to also pass to my kids, that sport is really important and I love watching it.
I was going to say, your managers must have been sort of apoplectic with fear, basically, in terms of, no, Ginny, don't do that. It's too dangerous. For goodness sake, limbs can be broken.
True. It wasn't my contract a few times that I couldn't have done sports during that contract because It was too dangerous.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's a whole new field. Kathy, back to you.
Well, I wanted to point out for you, Alex, did you notice how she said soccer? It's nice to hear. She's on my side. Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you to go back to, because obviously you have so much experience working in the studio and performing live. What do you prefer? Do you prefer performing live or being in a studio?
100% live, because there is nothing like a living audience in front of you where you can share the emotion from the beginning until the end. The studio allows you to create certain things and to capture certain things that maybe you'd not be able to do when you're on the live show, but the emotion that comes out when you are in front of people is everything. That's why I define myself as a live singer. So I always say, don't just listen to the records. Please come to my concert, because it's an experience completely different. And I need people. I need to connect with my audience. I don't like singing to a microphone and that's it and a wall. I need my audience in front of me.
I did do some investigating, and I saw on YouTube someone filmed you in a live performance, and I was like, I bet this doesn't do it justice. Like, to hear your voice recorded and to hear your voice there, I was like, oh, and she's hitting all the right notes.
I just love it. I feel like I will never leave the stage. There's something magic happens, you know, something that clicks. I go on stage and I see the people and I think, oh my God, this is going to be so good. We're going to connect. We're going to sing together. We're going to share it. I'm not going to let you guys leave this place and you're going to stay with me until we're so tired and destroyed. That's what I love about live shows.
And social media, Jeannie, how can people who might have just encountered you the first time as a result of this program, how can they actually connect with your good self on the Instagrams, the TikToks, the rest of the material that's actually out there?
So I like to manage as much as possible personally my social media, because I really like the interaction, and I don't want anybody else writing for me if I can. So I spend a lot of time on social media, especially on Facebook. I'm very active on my Facebook page. I'm there every day. And I don't have a chat because it would be too crazy. So, but I have a chat on my website. So if you go on genevieve.com, there are all my links on my social profiles. I'm on Instagram every couple of days and TikTok every week. So I try to keep the social media different. So every channel, every social that you like, every app is different. So I don't give you the same things on every platform. On Facebook, you can talk to me all the time. On Instagram, I'll show you a bit of my personal life. On TikTok, I'll make you laugh.
Well, again, Ace, Jeannie V, musician, of course, jeannieve.com, as you said, well worth accessing and going into all manner of wonderful things. Now, we've heard this once already because we worked it into the whole piece. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to introduce personally Tears in the Rain as we sort of conclude this particular piece. We've got a couple of other standard questions that we need to ask. Actually, sort of three of them in this particular instance. Well, first of all, have you ever been to New York City?
I've never been to New York City just for changing airplane, so, but never stepped out of the city for just more than 1 hour because I have to change flight. But that's it.
Well, the reason I ask is one of our other regular musicians and colleagues is Pamela Sue Mann, who is the regular co-host of New York Real Talk, in which we like to feature creatives across the globe. And I'm sure that would be quite an interesting one if you'd like to take part of the whole thing. But there are two critical questions that specifically refer to the Midweek Drive. And Kathy's going to ask you the first one, and I'll ask you the second one. So, Kathy, over to you.
All right. So, have you had a pleasant and enjoyable Zoomer today?
I loved it. Guys, you're amazing. I'm so happy you invited me for the Zoom. And it was great. I loved every question.
And will you be heading over to the beach later? Or is it just a case of, no, I need to basically stay indoors and be pale and interesting in Rome, as opposed to heading down to the surf?
Well, I have to say, this is a little bit of a thing. So I would normally go to the beach, but this weekend I'm heading to Tuscany. When I'm taking my kids to see the grandparents. So we're leaving in a couple of hours or so. Weekend out.
The next critical question before we invite you to actually introduce your own awesomeness with Tears of the Rain is, can we look forward to welcoming you back again? Jeannie V, will you come back on the show in the not too distant future?
Absolutely, yes. Anytime. I will be so happy to do that.
Jeannie V, we salute you. And would you like to just exit with, again, your own number? It's available now. Over to you, Jeannie.
Thank you so much. So please listen to my song. Thank you for being here with me. My next song is called Tears in the Rain.
Here I am. I am, they're talking about you. I see their lips move, but the words I can't hear. Something in their eyes is telling me you're gone. I don't realize what's going on. Washed away, face to grey. Now you're missing from my life. Every day, what we had now is gone. Everything we shared, moments lost in time, like tears in the rain. I can't let you go, need you by my side. Crushed by the pain, all the tears I cried. When I close my eyes, I still see your face. I'm trying to be strong, now my world's an empty place. God took you away, years before your time. Be with you one day, in the next.
Natural light or better transport facilities, or maybe you're actually just looking for good broadband. What are the key things that people are looking for if you're a first-time buyer? Can you afford to be a first buyer? Can you afford in the cost of living crisis to even cope with these things? Oh, questions. Where are the answers? Well, maybe, just maybe, the Chief Customer Officer at Newcastle Building Society, Stuart Miller, might be able to help answer some of them. Stuart, how are you?
Brilliant. Thanks, Alex.
Excellent. Well, I ran through a number of key things there in terms of this recent survey by the Newcastle Building Society in terms of top priorities for first-time buyers. And I was initially quite surprised that natural light was scoring quite high in terms of desirability and so on and so forth, because I thought, you know, surely it's a case of, you know, we are just work drones. We should actually leave the office, get into the train or the car, get to work, come back and so on and so forth. But natural light, more sought after than good transport links. Quite an interesting thing, that 31% to 26%.
Yeah, and so actually over 60% of people, it was our biggest priority from the survey came out as having a garden. So you're absolutely right. And I think the pandemic has changed an awful lot. It probably won't be a surprise to a lot of people. But really valuing that access to outside space, particularly given the lockdowns we went through. But I think people see the garden, the outside space, as another room these days, almost an extension of the inside living space, you know, place you can unwind or entertain friends and family. Mm.
And presumably it's a case of it's not necessarily size. I mean, you're not looking for acreage. You're looking for just a bit of green piece to actually connect with nature that might be sort of beneficial, as opposed to maybe putting it on a picture or a TV screen.
Exactly right, yes. As I say, I think, you know, the lockdowns got us all to really reassess what was important in life. And, you know, I think many of us will recognise it's just really nice to be outside in the fresh air, close to nature. You know, it's good for our mental health ultimately. But as I say, or just a place to, you know, entertain your friends or your family that might be living nearby.
I wasn't so surprised, in fact, probably mildly surprised by how low the desirability of good broadband speed was, literally just under a quarter, clearly more important than the proximity to work factor, because in all sorts of ways, as we're demonstrating today, basically, working from home or indeed having a decent broadband router is pretty much an essential in the 21st century.
Oh, it is definitely. I mean, I think it's whilst we don't have the results in this survey, I think it's fair to say if we had done this survey two years ago, then living closer to work would have been a much bigger priority, I think, for people. Whereas the types of things that came out of this survey was, you know, the garden, which we talked about, living in a safe area, off-road parking, which I wonder if it has anything to do with, you know, more electric vehicles on the road, possibly. But definitely, again, living close to friends and family and living in a quiet area came out quite high in the survey as well.
Now, clearly, it's been kind of accepted wisdom that if you're constantly renting, it's not necessarily the best way forward. Although I know there are loads of folk in other countries in Europe who are actually saying, what's wrong with renting? This is all we do. It's just a British peculiarity to want to actually own our own home. But we're still overall attracted to that notion of owning our own home. 48% maintain that the security of having one's own home is actually better than renting. Having said all of that, there is inevitably a cost of living crisis that you can't avoid in all sorts of ways, which, you know, clearly just for fuel costs alone might sort of say, yeah, that's another reason to work from home, good for the planet. And also you don't actually have to shell out three-figure sums every time you want to fill up the family car. Is it a case of we're having to just square that circle? I mean, can Newcastle Building Society actually help with respect to this?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, there's some research out this morning that's is saying that the rents outside London are rising at the fastest rate ever, now over £1,000 per month, and up 11% in the last year. So, and 43% of the people that we conducted the survey with said they felt that rent was basically a waste of money. So I think what we've seen certainly in the last year is a lot of innovation coming into this space. So one of the things that Newcastle Building Society launched last year as the first lender in the country to do so was launch a new mortgage called Deposit Unlock. And that was that means that people now have the ability to buy a new build home with just a small deposit, say a 5% deposit. The other thing that I would really recommend people have a close look at is something called a lifetime ISA. So this is something whereby 25% of everything you put into that ISA, an extra 25% is added by the government contribution to help you basically speed up the time it takes to save your deposit for a new home. So there are some really good options out there for people. I think, you know, I would just ask people not to be put off and still, you know, maintain that determination to get on the property ladder and get that first dream home that they're after.
Thinking strategically and presumably looking for the long game would be the tactics to adopt, really, as opposed to saying, oh, I'll go there, oh, I'll do this, etc. When you're dealing with finances, you do need to ensure that you take time to reflect, presumably.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always say to people, you know, if you're going to start saving for a home, do it as soon as you can. You know, I appreciate that, you know, times are really hard for a lot of people with the cost of living increase. Whatever you can afford, you know, try and put something away, and you'll be surprised how quickly it starts to add up. Similarly, you know, really do sit down and take time to look at how much you can afford to spend on a mortgage, you know, really plan things out properly. And just that little bit of preparation, I think, really gets people well organized and definitely can help them get that dream home just that little bit quicker.
In terms of trends throughout 2022 and as we head into 2023, do you anticipate things to get slightly better, slightly more challenging? What's the Stuart Miller view on this?
I have to admit, I think things will continue to be challenging. As we've seen, we don't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel in terms of cost of living increases at the moment. Interestingly, though, we're still seeing a really high demand for people wanting to buy that first home. You know, we're doing record levels of mortgage lending so far this year. So the demand is definitely there. If anything, I think what we're seeing is just a lack of new houses being built. So we'd like to see the government, you know, hit that commitment of 300,000 new homes each year. And probably the final thing we've seen, and again, this will probably make a lot of sense, is we're starting to see people who take out a mortgage fixing their payments for a lot longer. So typically it might have been, say, 2 years fixed payments, but we're starting to see a lot more people now fix their mortgage payments for 5 years or even 10 years. So they've got that security of knowing that possibly one of their biggest outgoings each month isn't going to increase in the short term.
Yeah, the last thing one actually wants is mortgage payments to be hit with the kind of price hikes that are impacting on fuel, because that would be the perfect storm, I suspect, in terms of being unable to actually cope. Unless, of course, you happen to be playing for Newcastle United, in which case I presume it's not a problem, but that's another issue for another day. Let's conclude by saying newcastle.co.uk is that the best place to go to find out further details about the survey and indeed Newcastle Building Society.
It is, or actually, you know, we've got branches dotted all across the northeast, Cumbria and North Yorkshire. So, pop into one of our branches. The colleagues in there are more than happy to sit down and work through, you know, your individual situation.
Stuart Miller, Chief Customer Officer for Newcastle Building Society. I suppose, Stuart, I should really, to use the vernacular, say it's Newcastle Building Society, as opposed to Newcastle. It's a confusing thing, but as a citizen of Middlesbrough working in Lincoln, you'll appreciate there's a lot of kind of cross-cultural routines on this one. But then again,
well, I'm a Middlesbrough lad myself, so that's fine.
Well, in which case, yeah, you've probably suffered the agony of nearly playoff paradise, but not quite.
tell me about it. Yes, especially working with a lot of my colleagues in Newcastle, you can imagine.
Yeah, still, never mind. Who knows? We might be facing a derby with Leeds United next season, but that's another issue entirely. Stuart Miller, huge thanks, and keep on keeping on.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, I came a long way today, and I left you so long on this avenue, and here I stand in the strangest land, not knowing what to say or do. As I gaze around at these strangers in town, I guess the only stranger is me. And I wonder,
yes I wonder,
yes I wonder,
oh, I wonder.
Is this the way life's meant to be? Although it's only a day since I was taken away, I'm left standing here looking in wonder.
Get your life.
Oh, the ground at my feet. Maybe it's just the old street, but everything that I know lies under.
Get your life.
And when I see what they've done to this place that was home, shame is all that I feel. Oh, and I wonder, yes I wonder, is this the way life's meant to
meant to be. As I wander around this wreck of a town where people never speak aloud, with its ivory towers and its plastic flowers, I wish I was back in 1981. Just to see your face instead of this place.